Let me clue you in.
From the renterswarehouse.com studios, this is ESPN 97.5 KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gao Media station. This is a renterswarehouse.com roadshow, live from Prime Social Club. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, one in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. It is The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday right here from Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. If you want to get in on the action, you need to. This is the best, cleanest, classiest, and most incredible environment for you poker players out there. If you want to play hooky from work, get out a little early on a Friday and find the place to play poker that is safe, that is fun, that is classy. It's a great environment. You come out to Prime Social. I've seen the other ones, Raheel, who's filling in for Barry, by the way. Nothing comes close to this place.
I'm with you. When we do broadcast here, it's one of my favorite places. It's just a good place to do a broadcast. Shout out to our guy Steve, who's one of the managers out here, and he listens to the station all day long. So appreciate him and the whole staff out here, man. It's cool. There's a good energy here today. A lot of tables going.
This is as full as I've ever seen it. Yeah. On the Fridays that we've been here.
It's
a packed house. People are wanting to get in. They're clamoring to get in the next game. It's fantastic.
Yeah. Steve's always like, you gonna play today? I'm like, no, sir.
Are you a poker guy?
I'm not. When poker in the early 2000s, when it got hot with the World Series of Poker and everybody was talking about it and playing it, it's making a comeback because of the new rules here in Texas. I tried. Like, in college, I would play online and against people, but I never got into it as much because I know, because if I go all in on this, pun intended, it would become another, you know, quote unquote addiction, and that just takes up too much time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just have never played poker in my life, so that's not something I'm gonna do.
Yeah, I just don't have the time because I want to do other things more than anything. But it's cool, it's fun, you know. You get to trick people, which I kinda like and I'm good at.
Nick said that, you know, because I know Fred, AJ play, I know Barry plays a little bit, mm-hmm. Granato and Lance. But Nick was saying that, I mean, this is like an art form. It's a science. Fred and AJ win money a lot. Lance won money the last couple times, I think. So, yeah, those guys take it hyper serious. Mm-hmm.
There's a guy that I play in the basketball league with. He is a professional poker player.
Wow. Fred's contemplating it. I know that.
Yeah, this guy, he just goes around and plays tournaments and then plays all day online. And I forgot the dude's name. I hung out with him, and I just forgot his name, so I apologize.
Can he hoop?
Yeah, he's pretty good. Yeah. He's pretty good, man. He's a crafty scorer. Like, when you look at him, you go, this guy's probably not going to be that good. And then all of a sudden, he just dropped 20 on you. You go, how'd you do that?
Really?
Yeah, he's just one of those guys that just a crafty scorer.
Hmm.
As I like calling those guys, like, I wonder if people look at me and they go, that was a crafty scorer.
There you go. I know. There are those people out there.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt about it.
Did you talk about the home court app? I'm sorry, since we're talking about basketball.
I have not mentioned it, but you did send it to me the other night.
Dude,
so
it is unreal. And it was introduced to me at the Apple conference last week. They brought Steve Nash on the stage to showcase it with their new iPhone X.
That's what 10. He was so appreciative of mm-hmm. Yeah, being connected with Steve Jobs originally, and then being the people at Apple now being open to his ideas.
Yeah, so him, Mark Cuban, there's a bunch of other NBA players are big backers in this app. And what it is, it's a shooting app. And what it does is it takes your camera phone, you sync it up to your backboard, you know, wherever you're shooting, indoor, outdoor, it doesn't matter. You put it on a tripod, and you can also do it with it on the floor, but it's not as accurate from my findings. But you put it on your tripod, it finds the backboard, you hit okay, it syncs the lines, and then you go shoot, and then it keeps stats for you. So
now, you showed me this, and I think it's a fantastic app. And obviously with the family, and I don't have the time I once had where I got shots up several times a week like you're talking about. But the thing that I'm just curious about is how you get so much – within any shooter knows within 100 shots, you're going to get some that go in and out. They're going to go halfway down, and they're going to pop out. How does the app process that and realize which ones – is it that accurate?
It's that accurate. From my usage, and I put up that day – I put up 60 shots, and I did it, you know, in different scenarios. I recorded on the floor, tripod, And my tripod was a garbage can because I didn't have a tripod, so I just like synced it up and it fell a few times.
And you're not a porn star?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, no.
Well, tripod. You know.
Not professional.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have to report my income yet.
Yes.
And I tried in various scenarios. Or my output. Well, that I do have to report.
Yeah, you should.
So I tried in various settings, and the only time it didn't work correctly was when I put it on the floor. It didn't recognize where I was shooting. That was the only thing. But it did recognize makes or misses. It's just the craziest thing I've ever seen. And, like, when you know, athletes, professional athletes. Okay, so the first 300 shots it tracks is free. After that, it's $8.99 a month or $7.99 a month, and it gives you, like, additional stats. But, man, if you have a kid or if you like playing basketball, this is a cool way to show them, like, what their shot looks like. Like, how often do we go back and look at what our shots look like? Look, we're weekend warriors, whatever.
Right.
But if everyone else watches, like, professional athletes are watching tape and they get better from it. Like, for example, I noticed that on my shot, my left hand, after I release it, is going wild for some reason. And,
really?
Like, it's wasting energy. So I tried fixing it in my other shots. And sure enough, started going in. Now, I'm still not, you know, considered a shooter by any means. But now when I go back and watch it and I see where I make my shots, then I know where to shoot also. Like, I know I'm more likely to make it top of the key than I would the left corner because my heat map shows it. It's a crazy app, man.
That's pretty cool.
Technology is awesome.
That is very interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wish I had this when I was growing up.
Nick, you can have it now. You could salvage the back half of your career and become a shooter.
I never was a shooter in basketball. I never really enjoyed shooting. I've always been a guy that penetrated to the basketball, penetrated to the basket. Yeah. And then,
if Barry was here, he'd be all over you being a penetrator. But
yeah, he's done
at
that
the
before.
Same time, God, I don't know how you don't enjoy shooting.
Yeah.
I love shooting the basketball. Wow.
There are, depending on which team I'm playing for, like in the various leagues, I don't like shooting sometimes. Like, I like make out. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to dish today. I just want to get passes out.
Oh, you James Harden and Kobe Bryant it?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, but trust me, at this point, Joel, nobody's depending on me to score. If you're depending on me to score,
I'm the same way.
Like, we're going to lose, okay?
That's why I enjoy playing in the city leagues with with Mucci Norris and Mo Taylor and those guys, because all I got to do is spot up and be ready and just make sure you knock them down.
I spot up and get other people spot ups. That's what I do. I go, all right, like, you know what? You're a better player. You shoot. I'm just going to chill. I'm good. I'm good with my numbers.
I'm curious where you are on the Jimmy Butler situation, because Kelly Eco, a friend of the show, a kid that I have mentored for quite a while, a kid that's going to be the next Woj. I keep telling people it's going to be the ecosystem instead of the Woj bombs. He just came out with another article on the Rockets getting ready for training camp. Very interesting. He got some sources. He got some people to tell him some things. Breaks down everything from Bezdelic leaving to what to expect with Carmelo Anthony. So check it out. Easiest way is just follow him at Kelly Eco. On Twitter, and put K-E-L-L-Y-I-K-O in his Twitter account will pop up and follow him. But really interesting stuff as we get close to doing the training camp thing.
And I'll read it here in a second because I don't have a subscription to The Athletic, which he's a part of The Athletic, which is awesome. And it's like, $2.99 a month or something?
Yeah, you can get a free – I think you can get a free trial right now.
Okay.
Yeah, so
I'll check
it out.
Yeah. I'm curious to know what really happened there because it doesn't add up. Something does not add up.
I had mentioned some of it and some of the things Rockets fans should be concerned about, but he breaks it down and gets a little bit more in-depth and further into it. So it's a good read for sure. Check that out as we continue to roll on, because we love to talk basketball in September on The Usual Suspects and on ESPN 97.5. So we'll have more right down the pike and coming your way. If there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, you could be a part of the show as well. 713-780-3776. You can follow me at Pac-Man Joel, at @_Raheel, and at @TheProducerNick. If you want to reach any of us, we're checking them. I'll check text messages there during this break as well if you want to text the show. Back with more of The Usual Suspects, ESPN 975.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. We continue to roll on. Hour number two, 3 hour show. Barry in San Antonio doing a little comedy headlining this weekend. So he is going to be out today because we are on remote at Prime Social, 7801 Westheimer. So stop on by if you want to play some poker and say hi. We're here till 4. Blitz is here till 7. Raheel is in for Barry. Cody Stutes is going to be joining us at 2:30 as we come out of the halftime break. Talk a little football. Talk a lot of what's going on in college and pro this weekend. So we'll get Cody to break down that and the Texans, of course, as well. It's an FEF Friday, so our comedian, of course, of the week is Kiki Maroon. If you missed the clips, we've got one coming up right here, and we also got one coming up at 3:15. But if you missed the backstory on her, you can check it out on podcastarena.com or check out the website, ESPN975.com.
Third in porn, that would be my stage name. Squirrel Mahayek. You'd be surprised how many nuts I can fit in these cheeks. Two nuts. Is it like the count from Sesame Street? Two nuts. That wasn't me laughing, I was making the gag. You guys like that now, right? Like, oh my god, it's so big. I don't know how many inches I can fit in my mouth. Let's count. One.
There you go, Kiki Maroon. Barry so graciously left us with a backstory and information. Even though he is out this week, we wouldn't let you down. We still have the comedian of the week. If you want to see her October the 13th, Warehouse Live, you can follow her on Instagram and on Twitter at Kiki, K-I-K-I, Maroon. And as Raheel has pointed out and I pointed out, it's worth your while. Doesn't look like she sounds, and she looks pretty good.
Yeah, she looks good-looking comedian.
There you go. So, with that being said, we were talking about the Browns and the game last night as we got into some things, but you wanted to get into this whole sideline reporter thing that's going on with the Browns as well that I don't know that they want to have it out there, do you?
Yeah, somebody from the NFL was suspended 8 games. All right. Now, as you mentioned, with the Browns, but he was suspended 8 games. Sideline reporter Nathan Segura.
Yeah.
He was not pleased with the officiating during the team's loss to the Saints on Sunday, and as a result, he was suspended 8 games, and this comes from BleacherReport.com. The Browns suspended him from team's radio broadcast for the upcoming 8 games because he yelled at a referee following a call. He was also removed from the pre- and post-game shows and taken off the Cleveland Browns daily show he co-hosts on ESPN 850 for 2 weeks. Wow.
So here's the thing. This is a team decision, right? So you assume, and I've been in these cases, obviously, as you know, over the years, where you got someone that's representing the team but is on the payroll of the radio station. But it's hard to discipline a guy when you know he's on your side. He's fighting for you. He's passionate about your team and getting you the right call. Unless he got pressure from the league, which I'm sure if the league knows anything at all or if word got back to them, that they would have something to say about it. But it seems like it's pretty steep in terms of a penalty.
Well, Mary Kay Cabot also mentioned, and she had a source who said the Browns have reprimanded Segura in the past.
Okay.
So this isn't a first offense.
So I'm not sure. Track record.
Yeah, there is a record here, right?
Mm-hmm.
8 games, though, I wonder, do you get paid for those 8? Is this a unpaid suspension or a paid suspension?
I got to believe if it's for disciplinary action, I got to believe he's not getting paid for those 8 games. But that would be an interesting question to try and find the answer to, simply because of the fact that, you know, this is like what, when John Harris is doing the sidelines for the Texans. This would be like the Texans coming in and saying we want him removed for the next 8 games and then obviously working through the finances. But, again, In the experiences that I've had, either doing color commentary and analysis of the team where there's been issues, or when you get to a situation like this, if we were involved, being the Rockets, I mean, you sit down, you talk, but at the same time, you're pretty happy about the fact that your announcers, whether they're paid for by the team or not, are doing a job so passionately that they care about your team getting the calls that they deserve.
Yes, absolutely, you want that, but isn't there a sense of decorum that comes with this? Like, you don't yell at referees. You can be passionate on the broadcast. Absolutely. Like, I'm with you. When you know, when Craig is like, ooh, that was not a good call, or Matt, even on the TV broadcast, will criticize the call, there is a sense of, yeah, you can do that, but to yell at the official, I've never...
Yeah, I think that's yeah, like you got to use a little couth too in the way that you go about your business. You might kind of under your breath or whatever, but you know you shouldn't be that close to the field of play.
Yeah.
It's a privilege to be down there covering the game itself, but you shouldn't be in a position where you're an earshot of a referee and let them have it like that. Now, Gene and Jim would back in the day. Mm-hmm. We know that in the archives there are some pretty good highlights in history of the Gene and Jim years where they weren't afraid to go right at an official. Worrell's the same way. But at the same time, you also have an understanding. You know those officials over the years. You know that they're not going to. I mean, I was a part of the broadcast in which the only announcer in the history of the NBA was kicked out of a game. And that was Steve Jabby was the official who's now the official analyst for ESPN and ABC. Steve Jabby kicked out Mike Rice, who was my radio color analyst in Portland before he moved on to TV, and now he's moved on from there. But literally threw him out in Indiana, gave him a warning, and basically Mike Rice, an ex-college coach, got a little fired up, and they tossed him.
How does that happen, though? Like, is he that – I mean, I know they're close to the action, but
– So at that point, this was before the NBA started and the teams wanted to make more money, so they wanted to sell all their courtside seats, so they moved radio up to where they are currently. And they were all courtside. And there was a lot of bad calls. Jabby was notorious for being a guy that wanted it to be about him, drew attention to himself. So Jabby drew attention to himself, made a couple calls. There was a timeout. Cliff Robinson, the backup center for the Blazers, was sitting at the edge of the huddle, and Mike Rice took off his headset and basically made a comment to the point of, that was horrible, that was a bad call, whatever. But he was talking to Cliff Robinson. Jabby, who was notorious for rabbit ears, came over, said, I heard that. You do your piddly little job and stop worrying about what I do on mine, or we're going to have a real issue. You say one more word, you're gone. And Mike Rice swears that he never said another word to the officials. But, of course, if other guys on the team came up to the table during the timeout and want to talk to him about what was going on, he was talking to the players. Whether it was Jabby heard it or not, Jabby is one of those guys where if he even assumed that you were doing something wrong, because he was quick with technicals in the league too, he threw him out. He goes, that's it, you're gone.
Wow.
And Rice thought he was kidding, and then he had security remove him. And it just so happens my play-by-play guy that night, Eddie Doucette, had laryngitis. He was losing his voice. And I'm in Portland. They're on the road, and I'm sitting here fretting, going, Eddie Doucette's got to make it through one half of basketball doing color and play-by-play, and his voice is about to go. It was crazy.
This dude must have yelled at him.
You got to believe, right? Because you're in a loud environment.
Yeah.
Superdome, crazy loud environment, and the official. Now, the other thing is if the official pointed him out and then pointed it to somebody, because otherwise – how did they get to this point to where someone's involved to tell the Browns or to discuss it?
Just watching timeouts from the press box, you really have to go out of your way to say something to an official if you're on the sidelines. Because usually when they huddle up, they're on the field.
Now, if it's the side judge, and the side judge, once they get ready to go back to play, he's very close. He's on the sideline.
Man,
but you still have to... If you are where you're supposed to be, right?
Yeah, that's it.
The sideline guys for radio and TV aren't on the in the bench designated area between the 35s or whatever it is. You're on one end or the other. But I don't know if that works for Aaron Andrews and you know the national types. But I just know from local perspective. You know, you really got to be working hard to be an earshot of an official.
And you have to say something like, hey, man, that was a bad call. Or you got to yell it. Because if you're in passing, you go, ooh, that was a rough call.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I don't know what led up to it, but 8-game suspension. Okay, so that was from the Browns. Sidebar real quickly, the NFL. Can I give a shameless plug real quickly? I talked about this on the Raheel Show podcast, which you can find right now with our man Jose Partida. He joined me. We talked about The Office, all bunch of nonsense.
Stealing towels.
I will address that later.
Okay.
But subscribe to that, The Raheel Show podcast. It's non-sports, but there was something bothering me within sports, and it was the hit on Cam Newton laid on by DeMonte Kazee, who was thrown out of the game. He was fined, but no other suspension. Now, if the NFL is all about player safety and they're going to make it a thing about targeting guys, you know, and we're going to penalize you and we could potentially throw you out, that's fine. Like, player safety is big, and I agree. And if you're going to make calls that protect the quarterback, going back to Clay Matthews, even that slightest torque of the hip.
Don't get me started.
Right? But that's to protect the quarterback, right? That is what it's built on. If you're going to do that and you're going to suspend guys or throw them out of the game, excuse me, when a hit like that happens that Kazi laid down on Cam Newton, where it was he went out of his way to do damage straight up head-to-head, and I know he was remorseful afterwards, and I know he apologized to the media. Cam Newton, by the way, he said he didn't receive an apology. All that stuff, and you throw him out the game, and guys want to play, all this and that. And the worst you're going to do as a punishment, as a deterrent for future incidents, is that you're just going to fine the guy. Then there's two things going on with the NFL about player safety, because that right there, if I'm a defender and I said, oh, wow, okay, so I can take a cheap shot and potentially ruin a guy's career, and the worst thing that's going to happen to me is that I'm thrown out of a game and I'm fined, that's it? Man, why would I pull up on a future hit? There's no punishment in that. There's no real penalty. There's no deterrent of a future player or an incident like that happening with a player in a future incident exactly like this one. Because now if I see a quarterback that's lighting me up and he's putting up numbers on me and he's running and he just slides and he gives himself up, I'm going to take that cheap shot. Because it's not that bad.
Yeah, but here's the thing. In the NFL, it's a fraternity, and guys realize that you're going to be playing on different teams, but you're not going to take money out of a guy's pocket or cut his career short. It's not that serious, and the guys that take it that seriously have issues far and beyond what they do on the football field.
Okay, fraternity, absolutely. 99% of the guys are like that, but you still see cheap shots. You still see guys going
for you're
going
to see cheap
right?
shots.
Right, there's still guys out there, and those guys now, you're telling those guys that, hey, man, if you're going to take a cheap shot, it's all good because it's only going to be a fine, and we'll throw you out the game. I know the kid is remorseful. You have to send a message that that will not be tolerated because that is the worst of the hits. That is, forget the, you know, the head-to-head.
I saw the hit, and it was a bad hit. But at the same time, I don't think players' mentality gets to the point where they're saying, I can drill this dude, take a cheap shot, get away with it, and all I'm going to take is a fine, but I'm not going to get suspended. And even then, a lot of guys are worried about, you know how much they worry about their fines and taking money out of their pockets, and it bothers them. Mm-hmm. And I think the other thing, too, is if it costs you a game, and it didn't in the case of the Falcons, but in the case of Clay Matthews, this is the second one he got in which it could have cost him the first game, and it did cost him the second game. You don't want that on your shoulders.
The fine also, if it was a major fine, the NFL, somehow, some way, and I know they would never leak information, psych, you leak it like, hey, that was like a $6 million fine or whatever it is. Like, if it's something crazy, right?
Just to encourage just people to, not to do it.
Not
discourage
to do
them
it.
For doing it, right.
I'm just telling, man, if there's a guy out there now that has a chance to hit a quarterback like that, a straight up dirty cheap shot, I'm taking it. Why not?
Yeah, man, I wouldn't just because I know that, again, I play against the guy. I want to beat the guy. But at the same time, we're all in the same business trying to make the money and you know, pay our bills and support our families. So, all right, we're going to continue to roll on. We're going to have another giveaway coming out of the break, as well as Cody Stutes is going to join us, talk a little football, college, pro, Texans, you name it, we got it. If you want to ask Cody a question, hit us up, 713-780-3776. You can call, you can text, you can hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Take it, Nick. 90 in the books, 90 still to go in the big show. It's the second half of The Usual Suspect. It's Raheel in for Barry, who's in San Antonio doing a little comedy. Pleasure to have Cody Stutes join us. We'll get to him in just a minute. But because we do like to make sure that you, the listeners, and the suspects are taken care of, we got a giveaway just for you. That's right. We have a prize. It is a Hotels.com $50 gift card. You can finish out the summer with a trip. You can win a $50 hotel hotels.com gift card. Save up to 40% with their end of summer sales. Rent hotels or cabins, lake houses, bed and breakfast, beach resorts, ranch getaways, or, well, you know, you get the idea. As Captain Obvious says, nothing says Hotels.com lets you do you, like a quote that says, Hotels.com lets you do you. Get all the information at Hotels.com. But that $50 gift card to Hotels.com is up for grabs right now. Caller number 21. Caller 21, 713-780-3776. Caller 21, you get the gift card. Good luck. So, Cody, without further ado, welcome back. We appreciate you, as we've already told you, and the people out there that we have thefted you from the competition. We are obviously glad that you are a part of the Gal Media family. And with that, you have been focusing your efforts on football, the Texans, and otherwise, and you're going to be joining us Fridays at 2:30. So your observations seeing the Texans this week, I know the spread's gone up to, what, six?
Six, yeah.
Is that too much?
It's loony. It's lunacy that a Houston Texans team that has looked this bad in two games is favored by 6 points. I know the Giants were bad, and they gave up six sacks on Sunday Night Football to the Cowboys, and they've just looked pretty bad in both of their games. They played Jacksonville a little close, okay, and the Cowboys just spanked them. But the Cowboys aren't very good, so I think that's where the number comes from. But I can't figure it out, because we could write off the week one failures as, okay, it's the Patriots. Mm-hmm. They Bill Belichick has that advantage over Bill O'Brien. He'll always have it. They have that advantage over almost every team they play. But to go to Tennessee and the top three tackles be out and Blaine Gabbert be the quarterback and put that on the field like they did this past Sunday, they've got to be super upset with themselves.
Delanie Walker, you talk about everybody that was out? Yes.
Like, it was just, that was one of the worst losses in the history of the franchise, and they've had some awful losses
in their history.
And that's one of the worst, that's one of the most embarrassing. And so one of the comments that Tyrann Mathieu made this week was they need to have a good week of practice, and if you can put, like, there's nowhere else to go but up from here. But I'll say this, if you go 0-3, like, Bill O'Brien's not going anywhere, got that big contract extension, he's not in trouble, but you're talking about a big-time checkout from guys who, I don't know, were a free agent and came here to win, that maybe want to stay here long-term, that could help you win, like Tyrann Mathieu. Teams that start 0-3 almost never make the playoffs. Five of them in the history of the NFL that started 0-3 actually made the playoffs. And then even then, those teams never played for a conference championship. That's what the Texans are shooting for. They start 0-3. They lose to the Giants, which will be an embarrassing loss for your home opener to a Giants team that you should decimate. They're going to be in a world of trouble over there. You're talking about guys, week four, week five of the season may be opening up business decisions early on in the season. It'd be a bad deal. They have got to get this one this weekend.
And maybe that's why that number is so high right now, is because they know it's the first home game also, and they're anticipating the Texans coming out. Like, you look at the better team, right? They're both 0-2. You look at going into the season, who had a higher ceiling? Giants, Texans.
Well, Texans, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
So when you have two crappy 0-2 teams, and let's just be honest, they are both crappy teams, all right, based on what's happened on the field, Texans are crappy right now.
Right, all your on-the-paper discussion, that's out the window. You've got two games of work, and that's what the teams are right now.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just surprising to me, the spread. Three is reasonable either way to me, right? And you give the home team mm-hmm. three anyway, so I could see three. But I can't see – you know, just like I couldn't see at the start of the year everybody picking the Texans as the sexy pick for the Super Bowl. It's like you have so many variables that you have to establish. Watson's back. He's healthy. The guys that, you know, you picked up on the line are going to be better than serviceable, better than you were a year before, and so on. It's the injuries on the defensive side. But I just, that number is big, and it surprises me, because we know whoever loses this game, their season's over.
Yes.
Like you said.
Yes, their season's done. And the way this game should play out, if you look at what the Cowboys did on Sunday Night Football, they didn't actually have to blitz a lot, which Romeo Crennel doesn't really like to blitz. You've seen that in the past couple weeks. He likes to rely on that talent on the defensive line that hasn't been able to get to the quarterback, because Tennessee and New England put in really good game plans. And even then, when they did have time to get after the quarterbacks, they just didn't win their one-on-one matchups. But the Dallas Cowboys got after Eli Manning more without blitzing, just letting their defensive line work. And their defensive line is not that talented. They're missing Olivier Vernon, who's probably not going to play on Sunday. So their defensive line is not that talented. They got after him with almost no pressure. So you would have to think Clowney's playing this weekend. He said he was playing yesterday. O'Brien said today he expects him to play. So Clowney's playing. Watt, DJ Reader's been nice. And then you got to get something out of Whitney Mercilus.
I was going to say, where's he been?
I think there's still something going on with that shoulder.
We're not hearing that there's still an injury.
So he missed all of preseason rehabbing a hamstring injury, and that's one of those things where yes, he knows the system. He's familiar with the play calls. And you would think that a guy that's a veteran can get into football shape really fast. I just don't know if he's in football shape yet. And I don't know if Romeo Crennel's used him right. I've seen Whitney Merciless out there covering guys in coverage. Look, that's not going to work.
But Crennel knows him. He knows what to do.
I've been real disappointed with Romeo so far.
Have you?
I've been real disappointed because the MO on beating this Texans team is quick stuff. Get it out quick. And the way you fight off that quick stuff is trust those corners. Look, I know Jonathan Joseph's at the back end of his career, and you couldn't trust Kevin Johnson when he was on the field. But Kevin Johnson's not playing again anytime soon. So you've got Colvin, you've got Jonathan Joseph, and then you've got good safety play behind those guys. Like, give those corners a chance to fight some guys up on the line, jam them. I'll tell you what, if this big sag off of wide receivers happens on Sunday against Odell Beckham, you're looking at a 150-yard day for Odell because he's the catch-and-go guy. He's the best catch-and-go guy in the entire league. Okay, so if they have that big sag off, they got to get in there, jam him up on the line, slow things down, and Eli just doesn't process information fast anymore. It's tough for him to make those quick throws. So go in there. If he's taking more than a three-step drop, you got to get after
him. Yeah, if he has time and Odell just exploits the Texans on any kind of long crossing routes, because they don't have the speed for that. We saw that last week. They didn't have the speed for any of the Titans receivers. And if Odell Beckham gets going and you buy some time, it's going to be a long day. So let me throw this number out. Total touchdowns, Odell Beckham, 1.5, over, under.
Oh, I think you got to go over on that. I don't know who else is going to score for them because it's not going to be Shepard. It's not going to be any of their other wide receivers.
Well, it could be Barkley, short yardage, or if he breaks one like he did in week one.
That guy is the ultimate X factor for me Sunday. Yeah. He's got more targets this year than Stephon Diggs, A.J. Green, and DeAndre Hopkins. He's got as many catches as Hopkins. More than Odell and more than Julio Jones.
Yeah.
They love to throw the ball to him.
They really used him well last week in the passing game.
And he's hard to bring down. He breaks tackles. If the Texans aren't on their P's and Q's with him, chalk on Bunnell, and it's 0-3 and it's season over.
98.5 total yards rushing for Saquon Barkley. Over, under.
I'll go under on the rushing.
I will too.
On his total yards, he gets
a lot of touches out of the backfield catching the ball. So that'll be interesting to see. All right, Cody, we appreciate you. You can follow Cody on Twitter and also catch him on sportsmap.com, where he's doing a lot of great work for us. Reporting on the Houston Texans. We got Texans Giants. We got to talk about that. We got a lot more to get to, so we're going to continue to roll on. It is the Usual Suspects live from Prime Social. If you want to come by and play some poker, 7801 Westheimer. It's Raheel in for Barry. It's Joel. It's Nick. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Prime Social Club, this is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, deep in hour number two, the three-hour extravaganza we call The Big Show, otherwise known as The Usual Suspects. Barry's out in San Antonio, so Raheel is in. Appreciate him filling in on an FEF Friday. Comedian of the Week, Kiki Maroon. If you missed any of her comedy, you can go back and check the podcast. Also a great follow on Twitter and on Instagram at Kiki Maroon. And she's got a show October 13th at Warehouse Live. So we've given you a little bit of the backstory there. Talking Texans before the break, Raheel. A lot that we can still get to. The Clowney thing just mesmerizes me. Cody was gracious enough to join us for a segment, but I'm telling you right now, the guy puts himself, because they were in the same draft class, but he wants the Aaron Donald or the Khalil Mack money. I was back on Sports Map doing videos and talking about this on the air before the season even started. Look, if Gruden loves him that much, I'd trade him right now. And whether it would be for Mack or somebody else, I'd still trade him wherever he wants to go, because he hasn't proven he wants to stay healthy, or he can stay healthy. He hasn't proven that he's dedicated to football like he should be, like when he's injured and he's at casinos and all this other stuff. Now in a contract year, when you think he'd be doing everything in his power to be out there every day at practice, at every game, so that he can try to somewhat justify that he wants the similar money of those two guys that I mentioned, and instead he's missing games, he's getting penalties and street clothes, and yet he's still talking about what he's worth. To be honest with you, I just have been so underimpressed with Jadeveon Clowney that I'm like, at this point, especially if they lose this week, hey, if you guys want to start, I'll start taking bids.
with me, Clowney, it seems like every time people talk about Clowney, especially people that are pro Clowney, they're always basing it on one thing: potential.
Yeah, and that, the hit in college, frustrating. And the athleticism.
It's like, man, but when he's on, he's one of the best. Yeah, okay, when he's on, he is one of the best. Fine, but when is he really on? Like even last year's season, his best season. You go look at some of the numbers, you're like, man, that was a really good season, but that's not a Khalil Mack season. That's not an Aaron Donald
season.
Barry
and I did the numbers side by side.
It's not.
You know, Mack's numbers dwarfed Clowney. Now, you know, you and I were having a discussion in the break. I thought last year was a good year for him. You know, made the Pro Bowl, played all 16 games, you know, put up good numbers. So that was a step in the right direction. But here we go again. No training camp. You know, whatever's going on, he's finally ready to play week one. He doesn't play week two. Here we are in week three. He's talking about what he deserves contract-wise and what money he wants. I'm talking about where are you going to show, instead of just brief glimpses, of coming anywhere close to the two guys you want to be compared to financially.
Yeah. And the other part of this is, do you think right now if the Texans had a chance, you look at J.J. Watt's contract and you go, man, you know what, maybe we shouldn't have given – a J.J. Watt this contract. Maybe it wasn't worth to give a defensive end this kind of money. Now, that is the open market rate. Absolutely.
Sure.
That's what you got to pay defensive ends.
Right.
But do you think they have any regret right now with a defensive end like J.J. Watt, who is, by the way, producing way more numbers, right? Like, we're talking about MVP stuff, right? Do you think they have any regrets right now, 2018, that they gave J.J. Watt that number?
Right? I don't. No. You know why? Okay. Because here's the thing. As an organization, you either have to put up or you have to face the fact you're going to lose them, right? And if you look at the Khalil Mack situation, you look at guys right now who push the envelope to say, before it even comes to the point where I get to free agency, you either do it and do it right now, or I'll tell you right now that I'm walking and I'll start already getting ready to take suitors and take the highest bid. You can't predict injury. And what you could see out of J.J. Watt was, again, unlike Clowney, results after results after results, the defensive players of the year, and the, you know, all the different things that he got led you to believe, hey, this is a franchise transcending type defensive player. You got to lock up. So I don't think they have any regrets.
Okay, and that's fair. Absolutely. Like, that number, it makes sense for him, right? And as you mentioned, there's way more skins on the wall for him. So you go, fine. But right now, this J.J. Watt, like, you can't predict injury. You're right. Mm-hmm. But this J.J. Watt, is he worth that contract? No, he's not.
No, not right now.
You don't want to get burned again by giving a guy that much money.
Well,
and with Clowney,
the cap comes into play, too. Mm-hmm. You can only pay so many guys so much. And you already know that you're behind the eight ball paying a guy because of what we talked about from a loyalty and what we've seen in the past perspective with Watt. You don't want to get to paying a long-term deal to a guy that – gives you no signs of return on your investment.
Yeah, that's my biggest fear with Clowney is, man, you're going to base it on one season, the health factor, and this is a guy where you can't predict injuries. But, damn, seems like every time we look up, there's something happening with him.
And it's not good.
Yeah.
It's not a positive.
I still can't believe it. He missed last game.
I couldn't either.
Like, it's one of those injuries that I guess you know, like, hey, coach, you know, something just doesn't feel right. It's a long season. You're playing a Titans team, which – you know, you either was going to injure Mariota or it ended up being Blaine Gabbert, of course. But at that point, you didn't know who was going to be, you know, starting. And you don't risk it. Fine. Whatever. But, man, that for an injury where you're back already next week, you know, because it was a soft strain, like,
yeah.
It's so weird.
Again,
man.
It's just another red flag thrown up going, what is going on with this dude?
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just have to see. But that's something that, you know, I'm interested to see as it develops what Cody has to say about that.
And then on the opposite side of that, you know, I don't know if you guys talked about this, just the Titans were like, you know what, Marcus, it's not worth it. It's the Texans. Who cares? We'll beat them either way. Like, you know, when you because you look at Clowney, you go, ah, no, just it's all right, man. Look, we don't even know who they're going to be starting. We'll win this game. No big deal. They said, yeah, whatever. We'll sit our guy.
Because I'll be honest with you. Before the season, when I predicted the schedule, I said they were going to lose to New England. But I thought that they would win – just strength against strength at 100% against the Titans in Tennessee, because I felt like with everybody healthy that the Texans were looking for a big bounce back season. But now when you look at it and you say they're going to go into Tennessee and they're going to take on a team that's missing their two starting tackles, they're missing their starting quarterback, they're missing their all-pro tight end, which is their security blanket on offense, and they're missing a couple of defensive players, linebackers and otherwise, Texans should roll. The fact that they lost that game, and now you're facing a Giants team that, watch out now, because of the veterans that they have, because of the fact that Manning's not quick, but he's smart. And if you're gonna give any cushion to the to Odell Beckham Jr., he's gonna burn you. And then you got to be careful of what Barkley brings to the table. You cannot, if you crap the bed and go 0-3, this is just a massive disaster. So,
man,
all right, we got Roger that wanted to get in here before we go to break on the Texans. Roger, what's up?
Hey, man, we are talking about Clowney, man. The Clowney's career is like a microcosm of the whole Texans existence. I think there are cancerous, malignant tumors that need to be cut out of Houston. I mean, seriously, they're just a big dark cloud, you know. They spoil the fun. Like the other weekend, I was watching U of H knock the socks off of Arizona State, and the Astros were in Boston like it was their place, and they're a wrecking shop. And then we turn on TV, and the Texans are just, you know, wet in the bed all over the place, and it's just year after year, talk. We got to coach it better. We got to do it better. We got to do it better, sing it better. I don't know, man. That's all we get, man. It's all the same crap year after year after year after year. Dude, I mean, just when do we hold the owners to the feet to the fire? Like, they hold the coaches to the fire. Like, the GMs get them hold to the fire. Like, everybody has to have accountability. Where's the owner's accountability? How come we don't go storm their doors like a freaking, like a mob, like the Salem witch trials, and say, hey, you know,
all right,
do something with
Roger, we hear you. You know, the thing is, though, when he buys the team, that's the one thing that, you know, you can't discipline an owner who owns the team, goes through the process, you know, and puts up his money and gets it. Yeah, you can scrutinize all you want general managers and coaches, because those are guys that are put in place to do the personnel decisions, make the moves, do the things. But you can't police the ownership.
You can't. And I mean, the only way you can let them know is by not buying tickets, by not going and not supporting the team. And that's the only way. But even with that, like,
he
honestly
brought football back to Houston after Bud Adams took him to Tennessee. So without him, you don't have all of these complaints about your franchise.
That's fine. And you know what? Thank you so much. Maybe somebody else could have also done it at some point.
Yeah, you would think. At the same time, he did do it, you know, and so we'll see how it all plays out.
Yeah.
But obviously, he hasn't done himself any favors either with, you know, whenever he opens his mouth lately, it seems like it's controversial and it's not good for him or the organization or the city or the look. So we'll see. I mean,
but the good thing is, you know, with all the stuff that Roger just mentioned and like the players and the coaches and especially the coaches, you only have 4 more years of Bill O'Brien, so it's
yeah. And all you people that keep texting the show and tweeting and suggesting he's going to get fired, he just signed the extension. They aren't paying free money for 4 more years. He's going to be around. He's not going anywhere.
Yeah, just get over that whole thing. And if you hear anybody say that he's going to get fired, just turn it off.
No doubt.
They're not going to fire him. They're not. It's just stupid.
Nope. All right, so we got two in the books, one more to go, the big show. We got 60 minutes on the clock, and we're going to come back with a whole lot more. Clarence, we see you. We'll get to you after the break. Before we get to the break, I do want to tell you about my good people at Fitz Roofing. I've been telling you about them for a while now. They're really good people. They're a locally owned and operated company. So, therefore, if you've got damage to your roof, or worse yet, you're still digging out after the hurricane and you are trying to get a roof over your head, fix a leak, do anything to make sure that your house is back to being serviceable, and you know that there are deposit thieves, storm chasers, or sketchy roofers out there, do yourself a favor and go to Fitz Roofing. All you got to go to is FITZRoofing.com. Or you can get a free no-obligation inspection today by calling 832-521-3001. Either way, you're going to be in touch with the best. And how do I know that? Well, I know that they use CertainTeed shingles, and they're also a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company. And by the way, only 1% of roofers in the entire United States meet that criteria and get that status, and they have it. That means you're not going to get shoddy work, or you're going to get people that are going to take your cash and skip town. They're going to be dedicated throughout the process. They're going to put a great roof over your head with quality products and incredible customer service. And by the way, they're going to give you warranties, and their base warranties are longer than your average roofer can provide as their very best. They do an outstanding job on your roof, and they also care about the community, by the way. They give 10% of their profits back to a nonprofit they created called Fitz for Families. Money goes to help people that have a need for a roof but can't afford to pay for it. Just another way that they solidify themselves with you in the community that they love. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Give them a call, 832-521-3001 or fitzroofing.com. Making a difference one home at a time, it's Fitz Roofing.